Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to our Wednesday night service. And for those of you who are online, we welcome you. Just a couple things before we worship tonight. First of all, this is our first Wednesday night back after our worship night. So we're in the process of regathering. And so it's been a good process. And as you know, we still want to practice our protocols. We still want to make sure that we're being safe for everyone and our families and everyone else too. So during the times that we are in the sanctuary, we should have our masks on. I know sometimes it's hard to breathe. I get that. Sometimes it's as easy as taking a short break. Maybe go outside and take a breather. Feel free to do things like that. We're just in a different season with the protocols, but you want to make sure you're healthy, and you want to make sure that you're being wise for everyone else too. You want to respect everybody else's health at the same time. And as we do this together, we're going to see God do great miracles along the way. So we can only do this together, guys. Can we do that? Let's do this together as family, okay? Well, let's stand this evening. As we do so, we're going to welcome the very one who we praise and worship and adore. Lord Jesus, we welcome your presence tonight. You are the King of all kings. We praise you, we adore you, and we thank you for being our God in heaven. We worship you tonight, Lord. Let's put our hands together.
Praise be a weapon.
Praise be a weapon that silences the enemy. Praise be a weapon that conquers all anxiety. Let it rise. Let praise arise. We sing your name in the dark and it changes everything. We sing with all we are. Your victory, let it rise, let praise arise. We'll see you break down every wall, we'll watch the giants fall. No fear cannot survive, let me praise you. The God of breakthroughs on our side, forever lift him high. With
we
this crown.
Who you are,
God, that is who you are. You are here, touching every heart. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, healing every heart. I worship you. Worship you. You are here, turning lives around. I worship you. I worship you. You are here, bending every heart. I worship you. My God, that is who you are.
my God, that is who you are.
We know where you're at. Would you just let him know who he is to you? Because he's never stopped being our way maker. He's never stopped keeping his promise. He's never stopped being the light in the darkness.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Sing it out.
That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are. That is who you are.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you.
speak of surrender and singing those words, I give it all to you. I surrender it all. Do whatever you want. You know, that's a part of Jesus being Lord. It is a lot easier to live with a Savior who we praise than it is a Lord in whom we surrender to. But even in that difficulty of surrendering it all to our Lord, we can do that because He is our Savior. Sometimes we think of surrendering to Jesus means that we don't know exactly what's going to happen in our lives, therefore I can't surrender at all. But really, it's an act of faith saying, Lord, because you are my Lord and Savior, I can surrender it all because it's in your presence, in your hands, that my life will be okay because you are also my Savior. So when we worship our Lord and Savior and we say, I surrender it all to you, do whatever you want, that's also an act of faith and a prayer in worship, declaring in front of everyone, in your spirit, in your heart, and in front of the King of all kings that we trust Him because He's our Savior. So Lord God, not only do we worship you tonight, but our life is in your hands. We trust you with it. That's why we can make room in our hearts, because that's where you belong. And so as our Lord, we surrender to you. Do whatever you want, because it's in that act of faith that we can rest assured that as our Savior, our life is in much better hands, in much better care, when it's yours and not our very own. So thank you for being faithful and for being our protector, the one who will always show us the way. This is why we praise you as Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray, and we all said together, amen, amen. We serve a wonderful Father in heaven who gave us Jesus as Lord and Savior. Before you're seated, just throw up a shaka to someone and you may have a seat. And again, our Wednesday night, we're so grateful that we can be here tonight. Thank you, Pastor Ben, Melissa, Kenny, Curtis, for helping us during this worship time. Can we thank our worship team just using their gifts and talents? You know, I am thankful that we can gather in this way, and I know, you know, we're still mindful of our protocols and mindful of, you know, health and safety. So thank you again. I can't thank you enough for being mindful of other people. You know, sometimes I'll get feedback and I'll get two sides, right? You get the side of, you know, have faith, and then you have the other side of safety. And when Jesus said to love your neighbor as yourself, it's always that outward expression of what God is doing on the inside. So when you are being mindful and going through your protocols, even if you yourself feel like, why am I even doing this? Why are we doing this for? It's not only for us. It's for others too. So thank you for being mindful of other people. It just shows your heart for Jesus when you're thinking of other people, because that's why Jesus came. He didn't come just for us. He came for people who have yet to be saved. And if our only mission on this earth was to be saved, then after we're saved, God would have taken us home. But we still have an assignment. We still have work to do. We still have a lot of people to reach. And with where we're at with our church and then in our community, we want to do everything possible so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can reach as many hearts as possible. Tonight, as we are in our series devoted to God, Christian Gapo is going to come up and he's going to share the word of God tonight. And we can only do this because of your hearts to give. And so when we give to God, know this, that every time we trust God with our finances, He uses it so more people can come to know Him as Lord and Savior. He uses it so that we can reach out to people, so that we can bring comfort to those who are going through a very difficult time in this season. He uses those finances so that we can, as family, gather together and worship God together. We can have a dinner together. We can have online services. The gospel of Jesus Christ will continuously move forward because of people like you who continuously give. I'm going to welcome up Jonathan Miyasato. He's going to pray over our tithes and offerings. Jonathan Miyasato, thank you for being here tonight. Go ahead.
Oh, so nice to see everybody. You guys all look younger and thinner. You know, I've always took my son fishing from age 2 years old. And my dad did the same thing. From young time, he took me fishing. And, you know, just recently, a few months ago, we had night fishing for Mempachi. And, you know, for the first time ever, you know, he caught the first one. He hooked the first one. And, you know, he make big noise. And, Dad, check it out. Hook up. Okay. I don't catch nothing. He casts again. He hanapa again. He hook up again. Okay. By the end of the night, it was a slow night, and we only stayed a few hours. But he caught 8, and I went catch only 2. So I tell you, I was kind of salty at first. You know, I was kind of salty. It's like, man, this kid even schooled me. The student become the teacher. No good that. I was like, oh, man. So after a while, I sweetened up. You know, after a few months, it was just a few hours. But I realized, you know, I'm glad that I taught him well enough where he can catch fish on his own. Because really, it's about the next generation. It's about the next generation and raising them up and teaching them how to fish. How to fish for the souls of men and women. In Deuteronomy chapter 4, God says, "Be careful not to forget what you have seen. And make sure you teach this to your children and their grandchildren and a thousand generations." So when we give, giving is partnering with God so that the gospel of Jesus Christ can be spread not just here in this age and time, but for the future generations. Let us pray. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you so much for this opportunity to give and to partner with you. We pray blessing upon our children and grandchildren, Lord God, as we continue to teach them and share the gospel. So take these gifts, these offerings, Lord God, and use it to multiply your kingdom. So we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So tonight, Christian, who also is of the next generation, because I used to be his youth leader and stuff, so it's so comforting to see him being up here preaching tonight. You know, I was his youth leader. I was about 17 years old when I was his youth leader. But anyway, he's going to be teaching on not King David, but the youth David, as we continue on in our series, Devoted to God.
All right, thank you so much, Uncle Jonathan. Well, like you said, we are going to be talking about David tonight. And this came about because, like he said before, or not, I don't know. But if you don't know me, my name is Christian. I have the privilege of working with our junior high and high school ministries at Relentless. They certainly keep me... They keep me going. Nah, but I love them. And it was for one of our messages, I was researching David. Because David is this awesome character in the Bible. There's so much to glean from him. And we talked about him fighting Goliath. And then I realized there's this period in between after he fights Goliath and before he becomes king that I don't really, at least personally, I don't really research it a lot. And as I researched it, I realized that there was a wealth of things in there. There was so many interesting things. So we're going to talk about David while he was on the run for his life. And this is why I love David, because his entire life is an amazing story. From fighting a giant to his eventual mistake as the king and past that, he was still called a man after God's own heart. So because of that, there's a lot to learn through his actions and conduct. So I feel that as a Christian, there's a lot of very important characteristics that we need to build on. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. But for me, one of the big ones is one of the ones that is very hard to build up. This thing called integrity. Now, I've heard integrity talked about in many ways. I've heard it described as saying what you mean and meaning what you say. I've heard it described as having good character. But my favorite one is doing what's right, even when no one is watching. I always think about that is, can I do what's right if no one's watching? Can I do what's right when it doesn't benefit me? Can I do what's right when it might actually hurt me? And so let's dive into David's life. And for some context, I'm just going to kind of go over what happened right after he slayed Goliath. So David slayed Goliath and started to grow up to become an amazing warrior and general. That, like, right after he talked to Saul, the king's son became super good friends with David. They became best friends. So David was with the king's son for a long time. He eventually got command over armies, and he got great successes over those armies. He got great successes in battle. People loved David. In fact, David was so loved that eventually he even became became the son-in-law to the king. But all of this success kind of started to scare the king Saul. He heard about David, how successful he was doing. He saw how God was so with David. He started to become scared for his own dynasty. And so, after a bit, he resolved to start to kill David. So David is able to escape with some of his loyal men and began to have and lead a loyal army of his own, all while being pursued by King Saul. And this is where I love it, because as David is being pursued by King Saul in this area, this is where we get to see a lot of great traits come out of David. See, just like all of us, when we get put under great pressure, I believe our true character comes out. Who we really are comes out. When there's all kinds of things going wrong, when we aren't comfortable, who we really are comes out. And David was under a lot of pressure. His life was in danger every single day for something, and he didn't understand why. He didn't understand why Saul was chasing him, but all he knew was that the king wanted him dead. And so tonight, I just want to share some of the traits that I noticed in those researching that I also want to implement in my life. So if you open up your Bibles to 1 Samuel 24, this is where we're going to start. And we can read about two times where the tables were actually flipped, and David actually had an opportunity to stop Saul. So in 1 Samuel 23, 3-4, we can read about what happened. So it's talking about Saul. He came to the sheep pens along the way. A cave was there, and Saul went in to relieve himself, use the bathroom. David and his men were far back in the cave. The men said, "This is the day the Lord spoke of when he said to you, 'I will give your enemy into your hands for you to deal with as you wish.'" Then David crept up unnoticed and cut off a corner of Saul's robe. So here we see Saul, the king, defenseless in a cave, completely unaware of David and his warriors, because I'm pretty sure he wouldn't be relieving himself if he was. And he was so unaware of the king and the warrior, or of David and the warriors, that David was able to come up right behind him, cut off a piece of his robe. And then later we can actually see this happen again in 1 Samuel 26, 7-12. And in 1 Samuel 26, 7-12, it says it like this. So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Abishai said to David, "Today God has delivered your enemy into your hands. Now let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of the spear. I won't strike him twice." And this is where I love it, because this is where we see David's character come out. But David said to Abishai, "Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? As surely as the Lord lives," he said, "the Lord himself will strike him, or his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. But the Lord forbid that I should lay a hand on the Lord's anointed. Now get the spear and water jug that are near his head, and let's go. So David took the spear and water jug near Saul's head, and they left. No one saw or knew about it, nor did they wake anyone up. They were all sleeping because the Lord had put them into a deep sleep. I started with these because we read that David had all the advantages. He had the surprise. He had Saul when he was completely defenseless. And then he had Saul when he was sleeping. And this is a person who was chasing after him, who was constantly making his life miserable. But yet he knew that God said, no one will touch my anointed. So even though Saul is there sleeping, he's got the spear. No one would know. David still tried his best to do what was right in the eyes of the Lord. See, this is the first great character trait we can see from David, and it's this. It's that he did not let circumstances change his obedience to God. It's real easy for us to follow God when it's convenient. It's very easy for us to be obedient when we see the reward right in front of us. At least it is for me. But here's David with his enemy in front of him and spares him. In fact, this is how strong David's integrity is. It continues in 1 Samuel 24. So the first time when he finds Saul in the cave, this is what it says. It says, afterward, David was conscience stricken for having cut off a corner of his robe. So he felt bad for even cutting off a corner of the robe. He said to his men, the Lord forbid that I should do a thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, or lay my hand on him, for he is the anointed of the Lord. With these words, David sharply rebuked his men and did not allow them to attack Saul. And Saul left the cave and went his way. Then David went out of the cave and called out to Saul, my lord the king. When Saul looked behind him, David bowed down and prostrated himself with his face to the ground. He said to Saul, why do you listen when men say, David is bent on harming you? This day you have seen with your own eyes how the Lord delivered you into my hands in the cave. Some urged me to kill you, but I spared you. I said, I will not lay my hand on my Lord because he is the Lord's anointed. See, my father, look at this piece of your robe in my hand. I cut off the corner of your robe, but did not kill you. See that there is nothing in my hand to indicate that I am guilty of wrongdoing or rebellion. I have not wronged you, but you are hunting me down to take my life. May the Lord judge between you and me, and may the Lord avenge the wrongs you have done to me, but my hand will not touch you. As the old saying goes, from evildoers come evil deeds, so my hand will not touch you. Not only did David not kill Saul, but he felt so bad for laying a hand on Saul that he went out of the cave, out of the comfort of being safe, and tried to make it right. This is a man that was trying to kill him. This is a man that all of his men called his enemy. This is a man that for no reason that David could find was trying to end his life. And yet David did the best. He went and he made it right. And when I saw that, I said, how can I get that kind of integrity? How can I have an obedience to the Lord that is so strong that I'll go even when there's no benefit, when there's negative benefit, when it could put me in harm's way? Well, I love that scripture because we actually read a little bit of David's rationale. See, David had the faith in God, in his Lord, that would avenge him and judge the righteousness of his actions. See, David knew he wasn't doing it for no reason. David knew that he would be rewarded for being righteous. But he knew that he wouldn't stain his hands in that way. See, are we willing to give up great opportunities for what the Lord has planned for our lives. Well, how can we build up this kind of faith? How can we have that faith in the Lord that's so strong that it overcomes what seems like common sense? Well, here's another thing that we can see that David did during his hard times. And it's the second trait that I like. And it's he kept in contact with God. We can read about it through many of the passages when he's, before he does anything important, any important battle, he goes and he communes with God. In 1 Samuel 34:8, we can hear about this very hard time that David had to go through. So it talks about it this way. It says, when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters, but David found strength in the Lord his God. See, I love this because here we see David in a really low place. He came back, his town got raided. There's his wives, his men's wives, the children are gone. And in fact, his own men are talking about trying to kill him. But instead of letting the situation overcome him, instead of anything else, he found his strength in the Lord his God. And we can continue on and see what he did. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Ahimelech, bring me the ephod. Abiathar brought it to him, and David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? Pursue them, he answered. You will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. See, David regularly consulted God as to what he should do, even in mourning, even in that hard time. When I read that, I thought, when I'm in my darkest times, who do I turn to first? And I thought about my family, I thought about my friends. But how many times do we actually turn to our Lord and Savior? When we're so confused, when we don't know the outcome, do we ask people that we trust or do we take it to the Lord? And I'm sure David had many advisors, trusted people around him. As head of his men, there are many people he could have turned to for critical decisions, but he also went towards God. And this helped him. And we can see this faith even before he's on the run for his life. We can see this faith as he fights Goliath. We can see this faith afterwards that he is a man who communed with God. He understood what it meant to have that relationship with God. And though the situation was rough, he followed what God said. And he was actually able to rescue every woman and child and get enough plunder to bless those surrounding him as well. See, David went and followed God. When God said go, David went. Even when he was in deep mourning, mourning so hard that he could not weep anymore. See, this leads me to the final thing about David. And the final trait that I love to see about David. And it's this, that he dealt with his emotions, but was not led by them. He dealt with his emotions, but was not led by them. See, in this period, we can read about David's guilt. We can read about his sadness, his anger, his frustration, his mourning. He's a very emotional guy. Talks about a lot of him, you know, feeling his emotions, going through, very passionate. And while he expresses his emotions, he made sure not to let it lead him to sin. In 1 Samuel 25, we can see David in a very frustrating experience. See, he's dealing with a man named Nabal, who's a very wealthy man who owned many goats and sheep. And during the time, at this point, there are raids. And that's when an army would come, they would take and steal from you. And they were very, very common. So David sees Nabal's field, and his men actually protect the fields and the flocks from raids. So now David waits for when Nabal was shearing his sheep, which traditionally was a very, very festive time. There's a lot of feasts, there was a lot of excess. So David waits for that, and then he sends people to politely ask for some provisions for his men. In fact, I was reading a little bit more about this, and the way he asked it was even interesting, because he didn't even ask for a specific amount. He didn't even ask for provisions. He relied on Nabal's generosity. He said, hey, anything you can find for your servant and his men, you know, we just want some food because we helped you out. Instead, Nabal insulted them. And David, being a human, after helping Nabal out this whole time and then just getting insulted to his face, he gets angry. He tells his men to strap on their swords so they can pay him back. Later on in 1 Samuel 25, we learn about Nabal's wife, Abigail, who is said to be very wise. And after the servants tell her of what her husband had done, she began to prepare food and gifts for David's men to appease them. And as she passed by, she's kind of like hidden by this hill, but she hears David saying this. And this is how angry David is at the time. And it says it this way in 1 Samuel 25, 21 to 22, it says, David had just said, it's been useless. All my watching over this fellow's property in the wilderness so that nothing of his was missing. He has paid me back evil for good. May God deal with David, be it ever so severely, if by morning I leave alive one male of all who belong to him. So David is not just a little bit mad. David is planning to take out the entire house. That's how mad he is. And that's really bad. That's a sin. You know, that would lead him to have his anger kill someone. So this is not a high point for David. After all, the Lord does call us to meet insults with kindness. But again, David is human. He's angry. And in 1 Samuel 25, 32 to 35, we read about Abigail finally reaching David. And she comes, she apologizes, she pays David and his men for all that they had done. And this is where David stops, and this is where David says to Abigail, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Otherwise, as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has kept me from harming you, if you had not come quickly to meet me, not one male belonging to Nabal would have been left alive by daybreak. Then David accepted from her hand what she had brought him and said, go home in peace. I have heard your words and granted your request. Now, a lot of credit should go to Abigail, who actually did, who went to make things right and kept him from sinning in his anger. But David also recognized this. He recognized that Abigail had come and God was actually speaking through her. And David was a very emotional man. He's so angry that he's about to take out this whole house. But instead he realizes, no, if I do that, I'm going to sin. If I do that, I'm going to dirty my hands. This is a great example of when he stopped and keeps himself from doing terrible sins in the name of his emotions. Now, like I said, I get to talk with a lot of teenagers, and teenagers have a lot of emotions as well. And a lot of them always ask me, you know, is it wrong to feel angry? Is it wrong to feel irritated? And I said, no. But you do have to be careful what you do in that anger, in that irritation. David is a very passionate man. But thankfully for him, he recognized the Lord stopping him in his anger. Now, these are just three character traits that I had observed from this period of David's life. And I think that would be very important for all of us to try and build up. See, building up that character of integrity, building up that character of doing what's right, building up a faithful reliance on God, and building up that relationship with Him. And finally, keeping a level head and recognizing God when He comes. Now, you may be sitting here and you may think, well, what if I already compromised my integrity? What if I already messed up? What if I already don't have any integrity left? See, King David is known as a man after God's own heart. But as many of us know, even King David wasn't perfect. As an adult, he compromised his integrity. As the king, he did this egregious sin. But the Lord is still able to redeem him, and we are still able to learn from him today. So if tonight you're thinking, I have nothing, I have no integrity, know this, that the Lord can still do something great with you. Now, before we end tonight, there are three things that you can write down if you're taking notes or if you want to just think about them. Some great reflection questions. And the first one is, what are some qualities that you've seen that come out of you when you're in a tough situation? Who are you when things get rough? And the second is, what are some qualities that you want to develop to come out of you in those tough times? For me, in those rough times, I want to be someone who's patient, who's kind, who's loving, a person of integrity. But more than anything else, I want to be a man who recognizes God. And finally, the last thing I would say is to take some time and ask God for direction. Right now, we're coming off of a very turbulent season. And you may not know where you're going, but the Lord has a plan for each and every one of us. And He's waiting for us to talk and contact Him. Will you bow your heads with me as we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray and I thank you so much for being a God who is faithful to us. Lord, it is that faithfulness that we learn how to be faithful back. Lord, I pray that you continue to develop our integrity, because we know that you are a God that rewards integrity. Lord, I pray that you continue to speak to us, continue to show us direction, continue to fill us with your wisdom. And Lord, I just pray that you'd help us command our emotions and not be blindsided by them. So that I pray this in your mighty and matchless name. Amen.